In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The origin of all mankind began in a garden. In this garden, God established Adam and Eve, surrounded by all the goodness of God's creatures and vegetation. And from Scripture, we specifically learn about two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're told that both are in the middle of the garden, perhaps even being right next to each other. At the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve exercise their love and obedience to God by obeying his command to not eat of the tree. And at the tree of life, they receive everlasting life. Both trees are gifts. Both trees are important as man and woman live with their Creator. However, the great deceiver tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He tempted them to disobey God. He whispered in their ear, "Surely you won't die from eating of the tree, just taking a little nibble. You can be like God. You can remake yourself under your own power into something better than you were before." Of course, they listened. They ate. They disobeyed. Sin sank into the depths of their hearts, and all creation became infected with the parasite of original sin. As a result of one man's disobedience, all mankind was separated from God. Likewise, we eat of the wrong tree. We partake of unrighteous fruits too. We disobey God's commands to us and follow the whispers that promise being a new self-made creation under our own direction. Thus, we are too separated from God. We're separated from the garden. And we're removed from the presence of the tree of life. God set the cherubim with a flaming sword to protect sinful man from re-entering the garden and eating of its fruit and living forever under the curse of sin. This is to say, man is exiled from partaking of eternal life itself, because God knows that if a man eats of this tree of life as a sinner, that the life given from its fruit would be a fate far worse than death. Because to live forever underneath sin's ravages of our bodies and souls, that's literally living hell. It's too terrible to have life in this way. So our sin must be dealt with. It must have atonement. It must be washed away before we can have eternal life as God intends for his creation. But how do we deal with sin? How do we do it? Well, we can't do anything about it. Sinful lusts and desires of mankind led to the problem. Thus, sinful man cannot be a part of the solution. Sin-filled man is the problem, and we cannot do anything to fix the problem. We're blindly stumbling through this life, and we cannot even accidentally address the problem of our sin. So life becomes elusive. A relationship with God an impossibility. Returning to once was in the Garden of Eden is outside of the grasp of sinful man. Returning to eat of the tree of life as sinners afflicted by sin is impossible. We may scratch and crawl back in whatever ways we imagine, justifying our sins by our works, justifying our sins by the faults of others, justifying our sins because we're not strong enough to resist. But these ways don't justify us before God. And so restoration to God is beyond our reach. But it's not beyond the reach of God. For just as man was overcome by a tree, so also must the Son of Man by a tree overcome. For just as man was overcome by a tree, so also must the Son of Man by a tree overcome. The solution comes by another tree. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus took on our flesh, becoming the seed of Eve, that he might crush the ancient serpent's head and pay the price demanded by sin. Jesus comes into our flesh because of the price that sin demands. Sin demands blood, but not just any blood. The blood of God's sacrificial lamb, who is Jesus Christ himself. He is a lamb with no spot or blemish. He is the perfect sacrifice with no sins of his own. Only through the blood of this holy offering to God can the sin of mankind be paid. This blood of the lamb is required, and so is another tree. The Son of Man must be lifted up on this tree, just as the bronze serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness. The tree of the cross was an instrument of torture and suffering and death, yet it's the tree on which Jesus was raised up. It's the tree on which his holy blood was shed. It's the tree where Jesus gave up his life so that our life may be found. Jesus turns the cross, an instrument of death, into the instrument for life. His death brings us life eternal. Through the cross, our exile from God's presence is ended, and we're able to approach the tree of life. All are welcomed to gaze upon this tree through which God draws all to himself. Through the fruits of the cross, we no longer wander aimlessly in this life. We are restored to forgiveness and life everlasting. Salvation is given. From the tree of life to the tree of the cross, we journey from life to death, back to life again. Each day we continue our journey knowing what God has done for us, his children, and we are comforted in God's promise given in the book of Revelation, that God brings us to heaven, where in the middle of heaven is the tree of life, whose leaves are healing for all people. This is our destiny. This is ours. Not because of what we as sinful people have done, but because God has restored us through the tree of the cross. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.